Tonight we're going to talk about what to do with your trophies. You've got them. You need to understand they're going to come in handy. Don't miss tonight. 6 o'clock, I'll have you out by 11:30. And you can go home and watch the rest of the Olympics. Praise God. I'd rather have the Olympics at church, wouldn't you? Choir, I want to tell you something. I was in Music City this week. And bring one of those up here, Pastor. I was in Music City this week, and I heard the best of the best, but they weren't as good as I heard this morning, and I mean that with all of my heart. This choir is... Wait, just a second. Before you clap, you don't clap good enough, because I'm going to tell you something. This choir has got you spoiled. I was at Johnny Minnick's church. Now, you understand, his piano player is Dolly Parton's piano player. His bass player is Ricky Skaggs' bass player. His steel guitar player is the steel guitar player dug for the Grand Ole Opry. His drummer is the drummer for the Grand Ole Opry. And they keep going on like that. And they're all members of his church and love God. And that choir is a great choir, but it's not like I heard today with our band and our choir. And church, you need to thank them one more time for the hard work they give. It's incredible the hours they put in. We just recorded 10 songs on this, 12 songs that are the standard songs the choir's done. The choir's going to sell these. They're going to raise money for the choir with them. They're $10, is that right? $10 or 2 for 20. And I want you to think about that. Pick one of these up. They're great gifts to give people, but this is one of the great, great inspirations you can have riding around in your car, in your home. And make sure you pick one up. Just got that finished thanks to that great soundboard that we got in there. And you'll enjoy that. It'll minister to you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I even took one to Nashville. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Now listen closely to these words. This is the confidence that we have and that belongs to us through Christ Jesus before God. That means God testifies that we can have confidence in Him through His Son. How many believe the name of Jesus still has power? Amen? Now listen as it goes on, and writing to the Corinthians, Paul says this, not that we are competent, that's the word I want you to key on, our competency. Not that we are competent in ourselves. You understand that given the greatest gifts and talents anyone can have, and God does give men and women gifts and talents. You see it here. You see it in encouragement, in greeters when you walk in the door. You see it in teachers. You see it in people that behind the scenes are making meals for funerals or weddings or whatever the occasion is. You see it in the choir, people singing and teaching and praising God. You see gifts and talents. God gives us all. But those competency in God is not found in our gifts or in our talents. Our competency is found through the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. If you believe that, say amen. God's competency comes through Jesus Christ, who is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Not that we are competent, verse 5, in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, that's the Old Testament or the first covenant, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen? So I'm here to tell some of you this morning that don't know or have forgotten or the cares of the world have taken it away from you. You have life in you that's a gift that's been packaged and prepared and paid for by the Son of God, and that life is in you. And I want you to understand it's important that as a child of God, you start living life again. We can get carried away with the burdens of life, with the cares of life. We can concentrate our mind on the what ifs that can happen in life. But God's saying that not through ourselves, but through the absolute backed up, protected, guaranteed Word of God through Jesus Christ, He has given us competence, and we are competent in Christ. Now let me explain something about this word. Hykonesis. This word means this, to be competent in Christ. In the Greek, it means to be qualified and adequately empowered. Qualified and adequately empowered. Say, Pastor, this morning, I'll be honest with you. I stood and I sang and I'm here, but I don't have any more power than a butterfly, I don't feel like, in my life. I don't feel adequate in my life because of things and situations in my life. Let me explain something to you right off the bat. You have just become part of the human race. You're just aware that you're in the race. And it is a race. You're aware of the fact that you have an adversary that's going to try to take life away from you and replace it with death and everything in your life. But I found out something, and I'm going to say this probably so many times that I think, maybe not, but I know that I've been saying to myself here lately, it's as easy. In fact, I've found that preparing to die takes as much energy as preparing to live does. Well, I'm not preparing to die. Well, if our mind is completely controlled by the horrors and the situations, look at the world condition. Look what might happen. Look what is happening. Look what looms over my tomorrow. Look at the finances I'm in. Look at the health, the prognosis of the doctors. Look at the situations I'm in. After a while, we're so caught up with the what ifs of life that we start making moves toward those things that are nothing but moving toward dying. We're preparing. We're making it ready. We're going to make it easier on our wife. So we're going to go buy some more insurance, and we're going to make it easier on our kids, and we're prepared in case they fire me tomorrow morning when I walk in there. I'm going to start praying already, God, I haven't been fired yet, but find me another job. I mean, we're already planning on death. Now, you're awfully quiet, and I'm sure I'm the only one that's ever done that here. I'm sure nobody else in this room has ever lived in the cares of the world and had the, well, if this happens, I have to make preparation for this, and it hasn't even happened, but we live preparing to die or for some kind of death to come into our lives. You're not the only one. I'm not the only one that's been guilty of that. We can go all the way back into 1 Kings to my area of Scripture that I love so much in 1 Kings chapter 17 in verse 7. And the Bible says, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go to Zarephath in Zidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went. This is Elijah the Tishbite. This is Elijah the prophet that had pronounced drought on the nation of Israel because of Ahab and Jezebel's wicked reign, because the nation had turned away from God. But God had a man that was ready to bring the nation back to God. And listen to me, regardless of the power of NBC, ABC, and CBS and all their affiliates, regardless of the coverage that they have, I have a God that supersedes the national news when it comes to getting the word out. He can get the word out in a matter of an instant of a second without any electronics. In fact, their antiquated ideas and antiquated thoughts don't amount to anything to compare to my God when He is ready to raise something up. And He still has men and women of God that He's raising up to bring nations back to the place where they once were, or bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you think America's finished and done with, listen to me, it's only because we say, I quit. But for this pastor and this preacher and this man of God, I'm not throwing in the towel till He takes me. How many's with me this morning? How many say, I'm going to fight the good fight this morning? Say, Pastor, keep on talking. I'm feeling a little bit more than a butterfly right now. We're going to get you, for you're a giant, for you walk out of here when you understand the Word of God. This prophet, led by God, who pronounced judgment on Israel, was now brought to the wilderness by this brook, and the ravens fed him at night. In the morning, the brook ran water by, and thing was all right with him. He was out there by himself, had a little solitude, but one day the brook dried up, and the Word of God, the Word, listen to this because you're going to hear it. The Word is the inspired voice of God through the Holy Spirit, came to this prophet named Elijah and said, no more water, big boy. As long as there's water, you'll lay right where you're at. But I'm going to dry it up, and I'm going to send you to Sidon, to an area called Zarephath, which happened to be the capital city of Baal, or the god Baal, as we call him. And I'm going to send you in the heart of the mouth of the lion to show you that I'm God over Baal. Now this morning, there are things in your life that are coming, and they're strong in your life, and they're problems, and they're walls that you face. But God put you in the mouth of the lion to show you that He's greater than the circumstance that's facing you, greater than the fear that grips you. I was in a conference one time many years ago with one of the great psychologists of America. He'd written many books, and he was renowned television and all over the world. This man was doing this very private conference, and I was sitting in this room with him, and after everything was over, I walked up to him, and I was talking to him, and I said, Chuck, what's the biggest problem in America today? And he said, the number one problem, without any question in my mind, is fear. I said, fear of what? He said, who knows? He said, there's a spirit of fear in our world today, and if we will attach it to anything that gets near us, but there's a presence of fear and apprehension in the world today that we live in, and I can tell you what it is to me, that it is the enemy who's turning up the heat because he knows his time soon to be over, because we have a King of Kings and Lord of Lords that's getting ready to mount a white horse with His vesture dipped in blood, and on His thigh written King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's going to lead a great army into this place, and we're going to have eternal victory through the power of the blood. So I understand the enemy turning up the heat. Fear of what? Just a fear, an oppression. He said it seems to be all over the world. And I said, you know, I understand it from a secular view, but I had to stop talking because he didn't understand what I said. I have chosen to opt out of the fear of the world and stand in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's my choice. I'm done preparing for death, and I'm going to start preparing for life. Stop dying and start living. This is God's will for your life. Pastor, you don't understand. It wouldn't be responsible if I didn't. Responsible? When he said in this scripture that he has made us confident, competent, he said that competence comes through the Spirit of God in our life, and that word competence means to be qualified and adequately empowered. That means you're qualified to face anything that comes in your life, and you're adequately empowered to face anything that comes in your life, not by your strength, not by your intelligence, not by your connections, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. There's your competence. The Bible says that he was told. So he went down to Zarephath. This is chapter 17 of 1 Kings, verse 10. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there, just like the Holy Spirit had told him. a widow would be there, gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" And as she was going to get it, he called, "Oh, and bring me a piece of bread or a cake of bread with it." And she stopped and said, "Look, it was enough for you to ask me to bring you some water, okay? All right, I'll bring you the water, because we have a little bit more of that than we have anything else, and not very much of that. But when you said, 'Bring me a cake of bread,' I made my last cake. I'm down to the end. I have a little bit of meal left in a little jar and a little bit of oil, which is the combination that I need, and I'm preparing to die. I'm telling you, by the Holy Spirit's discernment and by your pastor, there are people here this morning that are down to the little bit of meal and down to the oil." You say, financially? No, I'm talking about the fight you've got left. Your fight is down to the low level, and you don't have much fight left in you. You're just about ready to make your last cake. What do you mean, Pastor? Are we going to check out? No. I'm just telling you, there's a point in life where we say, "I don't have any more fight left." And that little woman said, and if you're here this morning and you hear me, and this touches your heart, you need to understand that by the providence of the Almighty God, He brought you here just like He brought Elijah to Sidon, to Zarephath. You say, "No, Pastor, I'm a member of this church, or we just happen to be visiting." No, it's by the providence of the Almighty God that you're hearing what I'm hearing. You have a choice. You can listen, you can receive it, you can take it in like a true word and act on it. And when you act on it, God will react back to you in miraculous ways. I'll guarantee He will. Or you can resist it and say, "I'm not worthy," or "I can't have it," or "It's not for me," or "I've already asked Him once, I've asked Him twice, I've asked Him 100 times, and it hasn't happened." It doesn't matter what the past is. This morning, I'm telling you here that God has prepared a day for you to change the situation from going toward death and preparing for death to start living life again. And if you'll react to that in the right way by just obedience, God will react to you. If you believe that, say amen. This woman was gathering sticks. She was working hard to die. It wasn't easy. She was weak. They didn't have much food. She was gathering sticks. She was at the gate. She had no idea God had commanded her. The word of God says to the prophet, "Go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow." You see, listen to me. God has put a command in you that you're not even aware of. You may be gathering the sticks of tragedy. You may be gathering the sticks of despair. You may be gathering the sticks of fear and disappointment and depression and sorrow. But I'm here to tell you this morning that those sticks are going to burn up. It's the last cake you're going to make. From that point on, you're going to be using a supernatural supply of oil and meal that didn't come from man, but it came straight from the Word of God to you who will receive it. She said it was enough to ask for water, but when you asked for the meal, that was the kicker. I'm telling you this, as surely as the Lord your God, she recognized the Spirit of God in Elijah. She was surprised that a prophet of Jehovah would be in Sidon. Let me explain something to you. In your despair, in your heartache, in the things that you're gathering your sticks for, it shocks you sometimes to think, God is concerned about me in this area of my life. But I want you to know that God has pre-prepared blessings for the obedient and pre-prepared blessings for those that will react to His word. You see, I'm convinced of this. Any action of obedience you take is a move toward a miracle when it comes to God. Did you hear me? That's a principle. That's one I say you can tattoo on your arm. Don't do it. But that's one I can tell you, you should write down and remember that any action of obedience you take is a move toward a miracle with God. Moving toward a miracle. Moving toward those. We could have said last Sunday, God, I don't understand it, but it seems like heart problems run in the Edmondson family, and Greg Edmondson has served you. And God, why not take him out when he's just a young man in his 40s and let him go to heaven on top? Praise God, he's been a good music pastor to that great church in Nashville. And let's just pray, oh God, make it easy and don't let it hurt. Preparing to die. But we didn't say that, did we? We said, you shed your blood on a cross. You took the stripes on your back. You said, call on me in the day of trouble. You said in Isaiah 700 years before you were born on this earth as a man, you said that by your stripes we are healed, and we're claiming the word. We're going to move toward in obedience toward you. And guess what God did? God provided a miracle. Now God is going to do it again this morning in the lives of many of you. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replies, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, and that we may eat it and die. Listen to me closely. When you start allowing death, failure, what ifs to control your thinking, you do more than affect yourself. You affect your generations under you and those to come. You affect your children, because when you give up, they give up. When you quit, they quit. How would you like it if I walked in here on Sunday morning and said, I'm your pastor, but, you know, I just don't know if I can preach this morning. Pray for me. I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd say, Ruth, let's get out of here and go find a church where the man knows what he's doing. Wouldn't you? I just don't know if I, you know, I don't know. I guess this word's true, but I'm not real sure. But I'd be out that door so quick the head'd swim. Wouldn't you? Sure, who wants to do that? Who wants to be around that? You say, well, you've got a positive confession. No, it's not a positive confession. It's what the Word of God calls the truth. It's the truth. There's power in obedience. There's healing in obedience. When we move toward God in any act of obedience, we're moving toward a miracle. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what's looming out there, this one man was facing not only a nation that had turned its back on God, but he was also in the heart of the nation that caused Israel to turn its back on God. He was in the capital city of Baal. He was in the very place where Jezebel was from. Her father was the high priest of the Sidonians. He was there in the very center of the problem. Couldn't have been in a lion's mouth anymore. And it was there that God used a widow to show him that not only did God have his hand on Elijah, but God was proving to a widow in Zarephath that when you move toward me in obedience, miracles take place. She was preparing to die. Elijah said to her in chapter 17, verse 13 of 1 Kings, don't be afraid. So I have to tell you this morning, the very first thing we have to deal with is fear. You say, no, Pastor, mine is doubt. No, it's not. It's fear. Fear is the cord of doubt. It's the center of doubt. Fear is the center of almost any and every spiritual problem you have. You say, I don't see it that way. It is, though. Afraid to trust God. Afraid to trust in His Word. Afraid that your past, afraid that something's happened that you don't qualify, afraid that God has done enough to save me, why would he want to do anything else for me, afraid of not getting an answer, afraid of having the boldness to get out of your seat and walk down here and say, I want prayer this morning that God is going to cause me to go from preparing to die and start preparing to live and enjoy life. I'm afraid it won't happen. You see, fear is the first thing. And so Elijah addressed it right off the bat. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to candy coat it. I'm not going to make it something it's not. I'm coming to you this morning and saying this. Elijah spoke these words through the power of the first covenant. I'm speaking it to you through the power of the second covenant, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the power of the Holy Ghost that indwells in a man. We don't have a temple with the ark in it anymore. We have become the temple, and the Holy Spirit rests and dwells in us. And I'm saying this to you. You don't have to fear. Don't be afraid. And the second that hits your spirit, the second you say, okay, I'm going to, in obedience, I'm going to move toward what you just said. The first step of obedience is a move toward a miracle. And the first step this morning is to say this, Pastor, I'm not going to trust my five senses. It's not what I see, smell, feel, hear, taste. Doesn't matter. I'm going to, in my best I can, I'm going to grasp what you said, and I'm going to make a step toward obedience and say in my heart, regardless of how I feel emotionally, I'm going to say, I will not fear. When God is for me, who can be against me? Say it. When God is for me, who can be against me? Speak these words. I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, will not fear. That's the first step he had to make. He said, don't be afraid. And after he addressed the fear, you see, many times we like to dance around the issues that cause the problem. But I'm here to tell you that some super spiritual geeks have come along and said, if we confess fear, that we're not having faith in God. That's a bunch of baloney. When I confess fear, I'm telling on the devil. When I confess fear, I'm going to my Savior, my Lord, the one that hung on that cross. And I'm saying to him, you didn't die for nothing. You didn't shed your blood for nothing. You didn't suffer for nothing. And the devil's trying to harass me with fear. And I come to the risen Savior and tell him the devil's trying to bother one of your children. And I go over here and I hide behind the blood of the Lamb and let Jesus do my fighting for me. I'm going to tell you this. Satan knows the battle's already been won. He was there when he busted open the gates of hell and took away the power of death, hell, and the grave. And he knows he has no power against the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. So when you confess fear, you're just kind of going in behind the already victorious Son of God and saying, Father, he's picking on me. Have an understanding that what you have in Jesus Christ. So she said, but first make me a cake of bread for me from what you have. Now listen to this. From what you have this morning, you don't have to go out and get more spiritual. You don't have to run to a seminar. You don't have to thumb through the Bible and read a few scriptures or pray under your breath, oh God, make me right. You don't have to do anything. Just from what you have this morning, God's going to address this situation in your life. So she took, go make me some bread from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. Now listen to this. He said, go take the last little bit of yourself. And that's where you are this morning. Take the last little bit of yourself and drag yourself in there and take what you have left. And I want you to take all that meal and all that oil and everything you've got, all of your competence, all of your power, all of your ability and all of your adequacies, and I want you to do this. I want you to fashion a cake out of it, and I want you to get rid of every bit of what you have left, because when you go back, there's going to be some supernatural substance for you. and it's not going to stop. The oil isn't going to run out. The meal isn't going to run out. The Bible says the oil isn't going to fail. He's saying this, when you get rid of all you've got, he said, I'm going to start filling the oil up of my oil. I'm going to start filling the meal with my meal. And you're going to find a new dietary plan. And you're going to say with me, I have made my last cake. I'm done doing the cake making. I'm finished with it. From this point on, my Lord and my God who paid the price has supplied the needs for me. And I'm going to work in His substance from this point forward, which is unfailing. Well, the woman was obedient. He said the jar of oil, flour, will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run out until the day the Lord God, until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. And she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food, listen to this, there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word. Everyone say the word. The word of God, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You see, God honored Elijah's prophet. And he honored him and said, you speak it and I'll back it up. And I'm going to explain something to you today that you need to understand. That when your pastor preaches to you, it's not some catchy word or something that I read in Newsweek. It's in prayer and supplication, asking God to give me for you what you need to. And in doing that, he also gives me the authority to speak the word. And I'm speaking the word today. You say, are you putting yourself on a par with Elijah? No, not at all. Elijah wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. He wasn't bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. He wasn't set free from the curse, and I am. I'm telling you this morning that according to the word of God this morning, get rid of the rest of the meal and the oil you've got, because the next time you go to the supply house, it's not going to run out. The fear's going to be gone. His supernatural sustenance is going to take over, and the oppression, the depression, the anxiety, the mountain, the battles that you fought are going to be repossessed and taken away from you and put in the rightful camp of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you'll live in victory through the power of His word. If you believe that's true, say amen. You see, God's word comes through men of God, and He speaks through us, and He's brought this word to you today. When you say, this is the last cake I'm going to make, this is the last one, I'm getting out of the dying business and I'm getting into the living business. In the Word of God, we see where Jesus touched some major categories. He touched blindness, He touched leprosy, and He touched paralysis. Three of the major categories. And why did He do it? Because, well, a lot of people were blind, a lot of people had leprosy, and a lot of people were in paralysis. But here's what He said. I'm touching your eyes so you can see the way I see. How many want to see through the eyes of Jesus? Look, when you look at the enemy through the eyes of Jesus, which He has enabled you, He's given you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're no longer blind and you don't see with limitations. When you're in the death business, you see with limitations and endings and finality. But when you see through the eyes of Jesus, when He takes the scales off your eyes, like He did Paul on the road to Damascus, scales fell off of his eyes, and he began to see through the eyes of Jesus, not through his own competency, then God can free you. The second thing is leprosy. That's a shame. That's the unqualified feeling that you have, sins of the past, sins maybe you're involved in right now, things that are keeping you from the presence of God. The leprosy, the stains, the sin that's even either been in your past. I'm going to tell you this, that when Jesus forgave you and you asked Him to forgive you, Psalms 103 says He separated your sins as far as the east is from the west. He didn't give us forgiveness according to what we deserve, but by His mercy and grace, He granted us exoneration. And the paralysis is fear. Fear of moving forward. Fear of being able to do what God wants me to do. You see, God has a plan for your life that you cannot accomplish as long as you sit there and plan dying instead of planning to live. Let me ask you this morning. How many of you are tired of making plans for dying? How many are like to say, Father, I want to be free. I want to be free like I was when I was a six-year-old child. I want to be free to know that every need in my life, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and spiritually, comes from the supply house of the Almighty God. It's not based on man. It's not based on government. It's not based on the national anthem of news that tries to bring us depression and sorrow and demonic activities over our airwaves. That has nothing to do with it. My power is based on a higher source than the world's. My power is based on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and gave me authority over these things. My competence is in Jesus. My competence. Remember the definition of competence. It's qualified and adequately empowered. Now, I know this with all my heart. There are people that have come here, some visiting, maybe for the first time. Some are charter members of this church, but I know God didn't give me a word to waste. And any act, listen to me, any act toward obedience in your life is going to be moving toward a miracle in your life. That little lady in Sidon said, I only know one thing. There's a drought in the land. There may be a drought in your life in some area, and you're saying, I'm tired of living in it, and I want to live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit again. If this message, you believe with all your heart, this is your first act, any act of obedience is a move toward a miracle. If this message was for you this morning, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Don't wait for anybody else. Don't look at anybody else. Don't think about anything. Look at your own situation. Stand to your feet right now. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. Everybody has financial needs. Friends, if you're planning on some type of failure, stand to your feet. If you're planning on any kind of failure in your life, if the condition of the world says, Pastor, I'm afraid. I just live in fear. I live in doubt. I don't have the joy of Jesus that I want. Now listen, now here's the next one. Some of you say, I've been up here, I've prayed before for this, and I'm going to trust God for it based on my past prayer. I'm here today to tell you, you need to stand up. God's going to give you some fresh oil this morning. And there's a group of people that need to stand up for that. I'm going to give you just a second. If you need fresh oil this morning, new oil and new meal this morning, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to wait just a second. I will not beg you. I'm not going to point you out. This is people that say, I'm hungry. I need fresh oil in my life this morning. Okay, I want everyone that's standing, and I don't want you to be a second behind him. I want you to move through the altar. Stand right here as fast as you can.